when somebody sends me a support ticket, obviously I give them my full attention, but I have built quite an extensive knowledge base that helps people with most questions that they have. If I get asked a question more than once, I will write an article about that so that people can refer to that. So a lot of my support is, and really at this stage, when you've got those plugins built, you're really a support business, right? So you're supporting people most of the time and you're doing product development. But most of the time it's support. You become a support business. So that part of the business I've really focused on streamlining and making efficient. So when somebody fills out our support form, for example, it's actually analyzing what they type in, and we recommend knowledge base articles back to them to try and prevent that support ticket even having to come through to us.
Hey everyone, Bob WP here, and welcome to Woo Biz Chat, a Do the Woo podcast show. Woo Biz Chat is sponsored by AirWallex. The online payment plugin allows you or your clients to localize your WooCommerce store checkout experience by enabling customers to pay with preferred currencies and payment methods. And OmniSend, the solution for email and SMS marketing with their CRM solution for WooCommerce shops and your own website, while saving you time with pre-built automations that drive sales. In today's episode of Woo Biz Chat, Marcus and Katie chat with Mark Westgaard from WS Form. Mark returns to our podcast, but this time he dives into his life as a solopreneur building a plug-in business. He shares his journey, how he manages customer support while staying profitable, and someday there may be team growth, but for now he loves running his business himself. So let's tune in.
Well, hey, everyone. Welcome to another Woo Biz Chat here on Do the Woo. My name is Marcus Burnett, and I'm a community marketer with GoDaddy. I'm joined, as always, by my wonderful co-host from Barn 2 Plugins, Katie Keith. How are you doing today, Katie?
Great, thanks. How are you, Marcus?
Pretty good. We're recording on a Friday this time, and I am ready for the weekend. So that is good news. My children are out of school. The summertime is starting. Our extracurriculars come to a minimum, so kind of just coasting now. Get to relax a little bit.
That seems early. I didn't know summer started in May in the US for school.
Yeah, their last day was yesterday, and man, our lives are so much simpler in the summertime. We'll have some things going on this summer, but without having last-minute homework due and all of that stuff, it's just nice to be able to relax a little bit. Well, we're not alone. We also have a guest joining us today that some folks will probably be familiar with. He's the owner, developer, support rep, well, everything really, for WS Form, Mark Westgaard. Welcome back to Do the Woo, Mark.
Thanks, Marcus. How are you?
Good, good. How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm in the same situation as you. I've got my kids just out of school this week, so they have about 3 months off now, so we have to look after them for 3 months at home. So rather than the school looking after them.
Wow, 3 is a lot.
Yeah, I remember getting, well, I think we got 5 or 6 weeks off in the UK when I was at school, if we were lucky. So yeah, it drags on a little bit because it is a very long time, but it's good to have them home, good to have some fun for the summer. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, I was saying that it's easier on our schedule, but I'm curious for you, is it easy? We all work from home. Is it easier for you having them home or having them out of the home?
I think it's easier for my wife because she does a lot of the school run and, you know, the extracurricular because I'm working. For me, I work from home, so it can be a little bit difficult with the kids screaming around everywhere, but I'm kind of used to it now. So it's nice to have them home, and when they go to school, you miss them, that's for sure, when they go back.
Yeah, my schedule is definitely different in the summertime, but some things are easier, some things a little harder. Well, for folks that may not know who you are, why don't you catch them up? Why don't you tell us just a little bit to start here? What is WS Form and how did WS Form come to be?
Yeah, so WS Form is a WordPress form plugin. We've been around now for, I want to say, 6 years. Time flies, right? You forget how long you've been running your business for. I traditionally come from an agency background. So I started my first agency when I was 19 years old back in, I want to say 96, something like that. And used to run the UK's second fastest growing agency back in the day, went through the whole dot-com boom and bust, and have stayed in the agency game for quite a while. And then whilst I was running the agency, that's probably about 10 years ago, my staff introduced me to WordPress, and they were going to WordCamps and you know, being part of the community. I was kind of sat in the office oblivious to it all initially, and then became more and more involved in it. And we decided we wanted to build a plugin of sorts, and decided, I don't know whether it was wise or not, but we decided to build a form plugin, which we thought was going to take a few months to build, and has ended up, you know, we're still building it to this day. It's continually developing, as you know, I'm sure Katie can attest to, you're always adding features and improving your product and keeping your product up to date. So yeah, that's what I do. So I build the plugin, I manage pretty much everything around it, and I love it. It's probably the most rewarding and fun part of my career to date.
So our topic for today is how you manage to do so much as a solopreneur, and talk more widely about at what point people might want to start getting help and move beyond that. What is the limit? Because WS Form is very well known now, and it is not thought to be a tiny plugin. You have a respectable place in all the pie charts of where the, you know, the market share of the form plugins, and you must be very, very busy. Do you know how many hours you work a week?
A lot. It's like having two jobs, really. I'm a workaholic by heart. I always have been. I've always run my own business, so I'm familiar with having to run a lot of different parts of this. I've always been a small business owner. I've never really worked for a larger business. So I guess to me, it kind of comes second nature to have to do everything that's needed to be done. You know, although I'm, you know, I guess the terminology that people use nowadays is indie developer. You know, you're kind of a one-man band building a WordPress plugin. And there are a lot of plugins out there, quite significant plugins that are one-man band companies. But I wouldn't be able to do it without the network of people that I do work with. You know, although I do the development and support and stuff like that, there's a lot of third-party companies that I rely on. There's a lot of people in the community that have helped me get to where I am. I absolutely wouldn't have been able to have done this on my own had I not got involved in the WordPress community, which is why I try and give back as much as I can, you know. So I try and sponsor all the flagship WordCamp events. I like to try and sponsor people to come to WordCamp as much as I can, and try and sponsor key names within the industry as much as I possibly can. And by giving back and being part of that community, I think is what has enabled me to get where I am. Had I not have done that, I would have just been a storefront with the shutters closed down. You know, I wouldn't have been as successful as I have been with WS Form. So I'm very fortunate. I'm very thankful for everyone that's helped me out, including my wife. You know, she's part of the team. Without her, I wouldn't be writing people's names down at WordCamp properly. Except that, so when she can come, she's a great help. But it is a lot of work. You know, I probably work sometimes 16 hours a day. You know, you'll wake up in the morning, start working, spend some time with the family, and then I'm basically back on the computer developing the next big thing for WS Form. But I'm very lucky that I have a job that I enjoy. I really enjoy what I do. It's almost like a hobby to me. So I used to obviously do agency work, and being able to work on my own product and build that is very, very rewarding. So I'm pleased I've made the change.
So at what point do you think that would become too much? Because we are a family man. You've got a wife, kids. Presumably you have some kind of life as well outside of that. So how, at what point do you think it's too much, and what would make you consider hiring people for different tasks?
So what I have done is work very hard on making the business as profitable and as automated as possible. When somebody sends me a support ticket, obviously I give them my full attention, but I have built quite an extensive knowledge base that helps people with most questions that they have. If I get asked a question more than once, I will write an article about that so that people can refer to that. So a lot of my support is, and really at this stage, when you've got those plugins built, you're really a support business, right? So you're supporting people most of the time and you're doing product development. But most of the time it's support. You become a support business. So that part of the business I've really focused on streamlining and making efficient. So when somebody fills out our support form, for example, it's actually analyzing what they type in, and we recommend knowledge base articles back to them to try and prevent that support ticket even having to come through to us. And that gives the user the information that they like, that they need, much, much quicker. So at the moment, my support level is very much within the bounds of me being able to handle it. And I think the next hire, if I were to hire somebody, it would be somebody in support to be able to hand off a lot of those tickets. And most of the tickets are, how do I do this? And then me responding with, well, excuse me, here's a knowledge base article that you need to be able to do that. So a lot of the time it's pointing people in the right direction. So part of my job really is to try and point people in the right direction without them needing to ask me for that in the first place. So yeah, I think in terms of when I'm going to need to, because I used to employ 40 people, and I'm quite enjoying not employing people for a little while in my career. But eventually I am, you know, as the product builds and we're growing quite significantly every year, which is great. There's going to be a point where we're going to need that resource, and I think support would be the place that's going to be focused on.
Yeah, I think that's an excellent point about reducing the need for support by allowing customers to help themselves. That gives them an instant answer, so it benefits the customer while obviously benefiting you as well. And I think that's a really good thing for people to do from the outset, because when you're smaller, you can actually spend time analysing every ticket and think, how could I have stopped this ticket from coming? Whereas when you've got like hundreds of tickets a day, as we do now, we can't do that. And I feel really sad that we can't put that level of analysis in. And that's still needed because we release new products periodically. And for those, we could be analysing, you know, the documentation. And we do that a bit, but you cannot do that at such a volume. So I think that's really important. And it does allow you to delay hiring a support person for as long as possible. Although there does come a point that I agree that will probably be your first hire, because you can't control the volume beyond that preventative stuff. And for me, I held back for ages and did all the support myself. I was doing like 50 tickets a day. And I'm really quick. My average time is maybe 5 minutes. Everybody I hire is more like 30 minutes. Even, you know, people I've had for 5 years, I don't know why, their average time is 30 minutes. And I don't think I'm doing a terrible job. I just know the plugin and the knowledge base, and I wrote it, and not the plugin, but I wrote the documentation. And you will always be quicker. But at some point, you cannot, however fast you are, do the support. And that's not something you get to choose, because you have to meet timescales. You have to keep it going. So that is probably the first one.
I think, you know, anybody thinking about developing a plugin underestimates the amount of documentation and support time that's involved with doing that, depending on, you know, what type of plugin you're building. WS Form is quite a complex product. It has to be able to be applied to so many different use cases. And we will get asked in support tickets, can it do this? And sometimes if I get that support ticket and I say no, it makes me want to build that and make it do that. But that in itself becomes a nice little marketable piece. And it's, you know, another, you know, I spoke to somebody early in the days of building WS Form, and their focus was around, okay, talk about the benefits of WS Form, things like that, not so much the functionality. And what I've actually found is that talking about the functionality is what people want with WS Form. They want to know what it can do. They want to know it can do more than other form plugins. They want that one-stop shop for a form plugin. And WS Form is not one plugin. We actually have, I think, 46 plugins now as part of the actual, you know, that we manage, because there's the core plugin and then all the add-ons. And each of those add-ons are a plugin unto themselves, and those have to be managed and updated and everything else. So it's quite a job keeping everything up to date, especially when a third party suddenly comes out with version 3 of an API and you've got to rewrite everything to make it work with that. So the support aspect is definitely the biggest part of running the plugin for us anyway. It's a lot of work.
Yeah.
I love what you said about benefits rather than features. Everybody always says you talk about benefits and not features, but that doesn't work for me either. Our plugins do very specific things and people need to know that that's what they're going to achieve. And marketing philosophy would say you need to focus on the feelings that using the plugin will give them. Well, no, they want a form that does something very specific. So long as your website is professional, that gives them the feeling that you are competent and will make their life easier. So I find that for very specific plugins, it is actually features and not benefits, whatever the marketing people say.
Yeah, a classic example is yesterday, somebody on our Facebook group said, can your Google Sheets add-on add one row per repeater on the form? So they've got a form and they want people to be able to put names in one after the other, and they wanted it to create a row, you know, per repeater. And I went, you know what, it can't do that, but I'm going to make it do that. So I wrote that last night, and it's a great new feature. And it's something that I've been asked a few times, and now, you know, that support ticket has now disappeared because people will know it can do that and I don't have to say no to it. So, you know, it may sound a crazy way of doing things, kind of being reactive like that, but it actually kind of works for us. And we tend to go, what's weird is we seem to have waves of requests from customers. So, for example, when AI suddenly became all the rage and OpenAI came out, everyone was saying, hey, can I use OpenAI on the form? And so I thought, okay, well, let's have a look into this. And we built an OpenAI add-on and we wrote a press release about it. And because we were the first ones to really do it with all of the API endpoints that OpenAI offers, it was a great little news piece for us as well. And that has now become quite a popular plugin. The most popular part of WS Form that we have is integrations with custom field plugins like ACF, ACPT, Metabox toolset, et cetera, et cetera. So working on those and developing those has been one of the key selling points of WS Form. So we've definitely had to differentiate ourselves from the rest of the pack that's out there. And that's been one of the things that we've had some great success with, as well as focusing on some of the other site builders such as Bricks and Oxygen and stuff like that. So we certainly had to find our niche.
Yeah, you mentioned that you have 46 or so add-ons to WS Form with almost 50 add-ons. How do you keep track of updates? How do you prioritize your time? Is a lot of it reactive, right? You're looking to see if a new API has come out, or do you spend time trying to figure out how to add more features to each of those add-ons? Is it revenue driven? Like, how do you prioritize what's important to building new ones versus keeping the ones that you have updated or working on the core plugin itself?
On the add-ons, we are usually contacted by those integration partners letting us know there's going to be a new version of an API coming out, so we can get on and get ahead of that fairly quickly. Surprisingly, some of them don't. you just hear from a customer that something's been changed, and then you have to jump in and change it. So there is a little bit of reactive there for sure. On the core, it's really, we have been very much a customer-driven plugin. So when the product was first launched, it was a core product. It was, you know, fully mobile responsive. We had some quite intuitive and revolutionary stuff in there that we launched, but then it was a case of listening to the customers and what they wanted. So we have a features page where people can submit new features for WS Form, and those can be voted on. And honestly, we have more feature requests than we could possibly ever build, even with a team of 20 people. It's just insane how many requests we get. But there are certain things that shine that get a lot of votes that we will then focus on and build. It's as well as being customer focused, we're obviously also business focused. So there are things that we want to launch because we know we can reach out to a new audience by doing that. So for example, we've recently introduced an integration with ACPT, which is a newer custom fill plugin. We've been working with the developer there, and now we're fully bidirectionally integrated in with ACPT, the custom field plugin, which is great. And as a result of doing that, the developer has then shouted to his customer base about WS Form. We've done the same for him on our end, and you've kind of got that mutual marketing effort between the two of us, which really helps grow the product. So it's business driven, it's customer driven, primarily customer driven. And that's kind of how I roll, and just pick what next and build it and document it and make a video about it and then push it out to the masses.
Yeah, you have a feature request page. You said, how do you decide when not to build something? Obviously, you're going to get hundreds, if not thousands, of feature requests. People will vote on them, but maybe something rises to the top that you just decide this doesn't make sense for our product. How do you decide that? How do you know when to kind of say no to a feature request?
Some of the feature requests we get are very niche. They're very specific to certain customers' requirements. And in that case, unfortunately, they're usually not going to get built. If it's a feature where we see that multiple people are going to be able to take advantage of it, then it's more likely to be built. So we do get some customers that have very, very specific use cases. I'm sure Katie comes across that with her plugins as well. And you basically just have to say, look, you could do it with some custom coding, maybe with a hook or something like that. And we work with Codable as well. So if a customer has any specific development that they need, they can go through Codable and maybe they'll develop that for them. We tend to steer away from developing custom stuff for payment with customers because it pulls us away from the core of what we want to be doing, which is supporting people and developing the product the way that we want to. So there are things that come across the table that are a no, and it's usually those niche use cases. And then sometimes it's just impossible. You know, we literally get some requests that cannot be done. So maybe somebody's trying to tie in with an old IBM system that uses a serial cable or something like that. You know, it sometimes really does get that crazy. It's amazing the use cases that we have that, you know, the way people use the product that I don't even imagine that it would be used for, but some quite complex stuff. And that's really where we focus the product, is to be able to build pretty much any, you know, some people call it an app builder, not a form builder, because it does so much. But some people will really take it to extremes. And we do have integration with WooCommerce as well, so you can put forms on products. And then I've actually done collaboration stuff with, you know, the likes of Katie, for example, where we use her product in conjunction with WS Form, perhaps for showing form submissions on a website. So sometimes we'll go back to a customer and we'll recommend a third-party product to do that. And sometimes if somebody comes to us and says, hey, I want to build a store with stock levels and I want multiple payment methods and I want to check out, I'll say, use WooCommerce. Don't use WS Form. You're looking at the wrong product. So I won't try and get every sale. I'll always recommend something that's appropriate for them.
Yeah, those are all good ways of allowing your company to stay small and not expand the team while being just as successful. You were meeting that customer's need by telling them to use a third-party plugin with your plugin. You still make the sale, but you're keeping within scope, you're keeping small, so that works. I know I've made a lot of mistakes which have forced us to grow more than team-wise, more than we otherwise would have done because of the use case thing. Like you were saying, you find out that a customer is using your product in a way that you would never have anticipated. I get very excited when that happens because it's an SEO opportunity to produce new content that we can rank for and then get sales. But many times I've been guilty of doing that when perhaps there were compromises involved. It wasn't what we intended when we built the plugin, and there might be something a little bit hacky about the way you achieve that. But I'll still go ahead and use it as a marketing opportunity. But that's obviously going to generate more support and feature requests and things like that. So I think that if I hadn't done that, then we would have been able to stay smaller for longer. But then we would have had a smaller market. So I don't know what's best, but I feel mistakes were made.
The AirWallex online payments plugin allows you to localize you or your client's WooCommerce store checkout experience, so any size business is able to grow without borders. Setup takes minutes, and you'll find improved checkout conversion rates by offering Apple Pay, Google Pay, and 60-plus local payment methods. And since customers are not redirected to a different checkout page, that info is saved, and you can offer recurring payments with WooCommerce subscriptions. What really stands out with AirWallex is merchants are not forced to convert foreign incoming payments to their home market currencies, and those funds can be used to pay suppliers internationally. So, literally, you save money all around. It's all there at airwallex.com. Whether you're a product or a site builder, OmniSend can help you with your customer or client's email and SMS through their CRM solution for WooCommerce. Product builders can bring their plugins and SaaS to a new level for their customers by integrating with OmniSend. And for you developers and agencies, recommending them to your clients for managing their customer relationships is spot on, because it gives them the right tool to build their email and SMS lists, send targeted campaigns, create automation workflows, and track their results, all from within their WordPress dashboard. With over 100,000 e-commerce stores already on board, have your clients and your customers get started for free by simply having them search for the OmniSend plugin on WordPress.org.
You know, Katie is somebody I look up to as a plugin developer, and I had the chance to talk to you. I think it was WordCamp US,
Yeah, we only met briefly in Athens, and then longer at US.
Yeah, and we had the opportunity to sit down in a coffee shop and have a natter together. And it's always great to do that, because you can, you know, you're great at sharing your experience on Twitter as well. So if you're not following Katie, make sure you follow Katie. Katie's always sharing how the business is going and asking questions, and has built a quite exponentially larger following than I've ever had. And it's great to learn from other people and how that they've approached things. And Katie's quite open about mistakes she's made and successes that she's had, and we could all learn from that. So thank you for all that. That's been really, really helpful.
Nice. Glad it's helpful. But yeah, I'm sure we're bigger than we need to be, and I do worry about that. Like, we've got something like 8 support engineers now full time, and I feel that that's because of extra complexity that I might have built into the products and things like that. Maybe because we have so many.
Yeah, I think as well, one of the things I've looked, because I hit, you know, again, I'm not as big as you, Casey, but I hit my 10,000th support ticket. And I kind of reflected on what I've done over those last 10,000 support tickets and how I've handled them. And I find myself, when I'm answering support tickets, I've kind of learnt ways of keeping the conversation great for the customer, but also keeping it short and sweet. So not prolonging the conversation with them longer than it needs to be. So there's certain ways that I will respond to a support ticket, maybe to give them the information they need and not ask additional questions. You know, there are certain ways that you can answer support tickets that make things a lot more efficient. I almost want to write a blog post on how to run a support department and how to run support tickets, because I think there are ways of making it a lot more efficient. We, you know, just a simple example as well is we use a lot of macros for things, where we have a lot of macros built in for responses that people will get. A lot of the time, customers will forget to send me an export of their form. So, they'll say, I'll just get a support ticket that says, my form doesn't work. And I'm like, okay, can you give me a bit more information? So there are, you know, macros for that type of thing. And then also the support form itself. One of the things that we do when a support ticket comes in is we make sure they're a genuine customer, right? Because there are times when people are using old software and we don't want to provide support to those people. So we do like license key lookups on their domain names and things like that. So there are ways that can be automated as well, just to speed things up. It's quite a science really, but that's a large part of how I'm still able to run it as a one-man band. But hopefully there will come a day when I can't do that anymore. I'm hoping to grow and get to that point. But we're growing between 25-40% year on year, which has been pretty good, and still managed to do.
That is more than nearly all plugin companies are at the moment.
Yeah, yeah. I'm quite proud of the growth that we've had. And you know, that's through a lot of hard work, really, and trying to be as present as possible. It's very easy to build a plugin and just think people are going to come and use your product. It doesn't work like that. You've got to get out there, tell people the benefits of it, talk to people, do podcasts with Bob and other things like that. It's a lot of, you know, pushing stuff in the pipe and hoping stuff comes out the other end. And fortunately, it has done.
Yeah, that's definitely a product of you being out in front of folks and showing them what WS Form can do, but also a product of, you know, the relationships that you've formed with people within WordPress too, because, you know, I'm wearing the WS Form hat literally right now, and I'm happy to share WS Form with any and everyone that needs a form solution for their WordPress site. And so, you know, it's a testament to just as much to the product itself, but also the relationships that you've formed within the community. The question I have, as you said, you know, you want to grow and expand your team at some point. Do you have a formula as a workaholic? How do you know when that time is? Is it when you've hit that 24th hour of the day and you need a 25th hour, or do you have some sort of way of knowing, you know, this is too much, I need to offload some of this to someone else?
It's too much now, to be honest. But I'm just a stickler for, you know, keeping the profitability as high as I can. I guess that's my weak point. It's a big change from going from indie one-man developer to taking staff on, because it impacts the business quite significantly from where it was. So I think it'll literally come down to, look, I just cannot do this anymore. This is too much. Finding support staff that can really understand WS Form and give the answers back like I do is going to be a challenge for sure. So it may be that maybe they take on the simpler support tickets where it's kind of pointing people in the right direction and taking that load off. I kind of feel if I do take somebody on, it's going to be a multifaceted role, though. It's not just going to be support. I'm sure they'll be involved in other stuff, like they will be standing at the booth at a WordCamp or something like that. Yeah, that's just small business nature, though, really. Even when I had 40-odd people, everyone had multiple roles within the business. 40 people is nothing in this day and age. Yeah, I mean, I'm enjoying the single man life just for the moment, and working with the third parties that I do to make everything happen. And as and when I find that I'm losing too much sleep, I will go and find that support person who'll take it from there. So for now, I'm happy. Really, really pleased with how things are going with the business. Love being part of the WordPress community. Really enjoying life, and I find that at the moment, it's not impacting on my time with my family, you know, so I'm still able to sit down, have dinner with them. We do stuff at the weekends. I, you know, try and get involved with the kids as much as I can. I guess when that starts getting impacted too much, then that'll be the time to say, nah, let's find some resources to take that off my shoulders.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
I understand the dilemma about profitability. Like before we started taking on team members, we were always at 91% profit, and it's just gone down and down and down since then. And while it's still plenty profitable, we did, Andy, and that's my husband and myself, did literally make $20,000 less last year than the previous year. So revenue was way higher, but that had entirely been eaten up by increased team costs, which was a conscious decision. We did sit down, Andy and I, at one point and think, shall we hire this extra developer at the expense of this amount of profitability? And we decided, yes, that's an investment in the future. But when you see it happen and you do your end of year numbers and you did make 20,000 less, and every team member has had a raise during the year and we're making less, it's kind of demotivating, I suppose. So yeah, I can see wanting to hold on to that for as long as possible, particularly given that, like I said earlier, you, Mark, will always be more efficient than anybody you hired. That's just how it works with founders versus team members. So you'll hire people and they will do a fraction of your productivity, but you have to sometimes.
Yeah, yeah. And that's where I kind of got. So when I moved to the States in 2005, got married and everything else, and started another agency in New Orleans. And originally it was just me doing consultancy, and it was great. I had a great contract with a few companies, and got to a point where I needed some people. Started building the team up again. I think I only got to like 7 or 8 with this particular agency. But I found myself doing the same thing. I was spending all my time finding work for those people and managing those people. And I was doing business development and just kind of doing HR and managing them and sorting out their health insurance and all the stuff that went around that, and handling all the finance and everything else. And I sat down with my wife at dinner one day and I said, you know what? I'm making less money doing this, keeping people employed. As much as I loved keeping people employed, I was just not doing what I wanted to do, which was the development. And I love building things. You know, I'm a coder at heart. I'm useless at marketing.
You've done a very good job at marketing.
Yeah, I wouldn't say useless.
In a very competitive market, form plugins.
So it was an eye opener, and I kind of realized that I didn't really want to be doing that anymore. You know, for me the web game, particularly in New Orleans where I was just not what it was when I was working in London, for example. It's a very, very different market. So and before that, I had been running a wedding company called Wed Simple, which was online wedding websites and wedding planning. And I used to white label that to Condé Nast, who do Brides Magazine. They do Vanity Fair and things like that. And that was a license-based model as well. And kind of realized that, you know what, I like this licensing game. It's a lot more stable. The agency game for me was quite a risk because we had quite significant contracts. And when those came to an end, you had to go and find the next big contract. And it was, you know, the classic agency stressed life cycle of having to find new business and keep pumping that in. And you see agencies laying off tens of people when they lose these big contracts. And I've been in that situation. The software licensing is, you know, thousands of customers with small amounts of money. So when you lose one of them, always disappointing, but it's less of an impact on the business. So a lot of reasons that, you know, moving from agency to plugin development has worked much better for me personally. I'm happier, less stress. And, you know, like you say, as and when I do employ people, it's probably going to result in less net profit back to me, because when you're a one-man band, that net profit really is your income. But it will become necessary at some point. So hopefully Katie and I can do that and increase our salary a little bit in line with inflation would be good.
It's definitely scary with agencies and having teams, because like you say, while you do get some ongoing revenue from support plans and hosting, and agencies should be focusing on that business-wise to predict their revenue and so on, a lot of it obviously comes from new projects. And if they stop, then you've still got to pay the staff bill. And with plugins, it's really great because as well as it being divided amongst multiple customers, as you say, an increasing proportion of revenue comes from renewals. So ours is currently about 50%. And our team bill has, I think it might be more than 50% now, but generally our team bill in the past has been around 50% of revenue. So I always thought, well, even though we've got other costs on top of that, whatever, that I can cope with that because the renewals will still keep the team paid. So even if new sales stopped, which they never would, they'd go down, like a big drop would be 20%, wouldn't it? The renewals always provided that buffer that made me feel comfortable. That I've spoken to people in agencies too that don't have that, and it sounds very, very scary.
It is scary, yeah. You know, back in the day, maybe 20, 25 years ago, you had huge web agencies that would lose like a British Airways contract and they'd have to lay off 80, 90 people. But that's just the way it was. I used to work with an agency in New Orleans. I was their VP of operations for about a year. And they lost two massive state contracts, which were worth millions. And it just turned the company on its head, you know. So it's scary. I look back over the last 28 years of being in that game and feel very lucky that I never had to go through that myself. It was tough. We did go, you know, we're back in the dot-com bubble when it burst. We were definitely impacted by that. We had to cut down on staff. But that was lots and lots of smaller clients all saying that we're not spending money anymore. You know, it wasn't a big contract loss. We had quite a few small business contracts. I think also I just kind of needed the change in my career as well. I got to a point where I just couldn't build another website. Which is probably why my website's so terrible. I need Marcus's help.
I have to say I have been on the other side of that. I worked at an agency where probably about 50% of our income was from one client that went away and got to a point where, you know, I was on the list of folks who were not able to be paid anymore, and I had to move on. That's how I ended up at SkyVerge, that then got acquired by GoDaddy. So I wouldn't recommend that. I wouldn't recommend putting, you know, as I say, all your eggs in one basket and having the majority of your income coming from one or two clients on the agency side, because that can dry up and like, that's no fun.
Yeah, but that's what happened to me with my wedding business. Is I literally had five clients. So I had Condé Nast, and I had a few other. I had like BBC magazines, and one in Canada, one in Singapore, I think. And I was on vacation in Florida with my family, and Pinterest suddenly popped out of nowhere, and brides started looking at Pinterest for wedding stuff, and we're no longer reading bridal magazines, and I lost three clients during my
business. Oh no.
And I was like, okay, well that's that done then. So yeah, it's interesting. There's you know, even when you're running a business, there are certain things that you don't even think about that could impact you. On the whole, from all the plugin developers that I've heard of and spoken to, generally, once they get to a certain stage, it's fairly stable. As long as you keep developing that product and you keep present in the community and you keep upgrading your product and making sure that it's secure and updated, people keep coming back for more. So fingers crossed, we'll keep growing and keep developing. And I'm thoroughly enjoying it. And I also genuinely can say I love working with our customers as well. They're all, on the whole, really pleasant to work with, and that I really love. It's and a lot of them give some really valuable feedback to me about the product, and you know, you could do this, you could maybe do this way, and listening to customers is critical to your success. If you're not listening to your customers and adapting your product to their needs, you're going to fall flat on your face. So being conscious of their needs and listening, I think, is very important.
You've compared your size to Katie's, to Barntube plugins a couple of times. I think one of the big differences, right, you know, that's immediately obvious is the number of products that Katie has versus, you know, WS Form. I'm curious if you've ever thought about creating another product. Has something come across your plate that you've been like, oh, you know, this is not in the realm of WS Form, but seems like it would be interesting for me to tackle. Has that ever happened?
It has happened. I've got some ideas, and I think whatever I decide to do in terms of additional products in future, it's going to be around something that complements WS Form, because I would then have a captive audience for that product. I think if I were to suddenly decide to build an e-commerce platform, it would be a mistake. I'd be starting at the bottom rung of a ladder trying to market that again. So, you know, in a way, I guess the add-ons I have are sometimes a new product that I can, you know, promote and shout about. But really, the add-ons, the reason I have so many is because, again, I need to be able to cater to all the different needs that are out there. But in terms of building a entirely new product, I do have some ideas. I don't want to do it until I'm happy to take the foot off WS Form, which, to Katie's point, that, you know, that's probably another reason I'm going to need some staff, though, that I would be able to do that. But I've made a point over the last 6 years of not doing that because I knew if I do that, I would spread myself too thin, which I've been guilty of in the past with other businesses. I used to run an event management business in London and we kind of expanded it out to like 5 or 6 businesses. It was way too much. The individual businesses didn't get the attention that they deserved. So yeah, watch this space. There will be stuff coming. We've got some exciting stuff in the pipeline for hopefully for this year, early next year.
Nice.
Yeah. And Katie, you've, I assume, had to do that at some point to step from one to multiple products. I don't know if you have any advice for Mark in, you know, having to think about that. You know, what if Mark had another product that he wanted to build? Is there anything that, any advice that you could give him?
Yeah, I think Mark's touched on the two key points, which are not spreading yourself too thin. It's like, for example, I haven't discussed revenue with Mark, but I am certain that WS Form does more revenue than any individual plugin that I have. We have 19 premium plugins, so the total is good. And some of them, as with anything, a small handful of them bring in most of the revenue. But we don't have a killer product that is as big as the companies that just focus on one product because we simply haven't put enough resources in. We're spread too thin. So if, for example, all I worked on was our Document Library Pro plugin or our WooCommerce Product Options plugin or just one of the bigger ones, then we could grow that much, much bigger. And so I do kind of feel bad that I'm not in a position to do that, like a lot of the companies that just have one product. And the other thing that Mark said, which I thought was really valuable, was if you do build additional products, make sure they're a good fit. So, for example, we released our WooCommerce Product Options plugin partly as a companion for our existing WooCommerce Product Table plugin, because a lot of our product table users were creating using it to create one-page order forms with, and they wanted extra options in the order form like tick boxes and things like that. And we'd always integrated with the official WooCommerce Product Add-ons plugin, but it's just not very good. Like, it doesn't have many option types, it doesn't have fancy things like conditional logic and minimum maximum quantities. It's pretty basic. So we built our own to scratch the itch of our customers. But now that is a really successful plugin in its own right and gets sales that aren't product table people. But of course, we can promote those two products to each other. And we've done that quite a lot of times. Whereas in contrast, we have a document library plugin, nothing to do with WooCommerce. And there's no kind of cross between the two, really. Maybe for agencies there is because they have different types of client projects. But for an individual website owner, they're not going to be probably using WooCommerce Product Options and Document Library Pro. Why would they? They're separate things. So I totally agree with that advice. But speaking more generally, I do really like having multiple products because I feel that it decreases the risk. Like how I said that renewals decrease the risk, so that you're less likely to have a big drop in revenue if something goes wrong with new sales. Having multiple products helps me feel I can afford to keep paying my team, because if something goes wrong with the document library market or something, there's a major new competitor or people's needs change or something, then I've still got all my WooCommerce add-ons and vice versa. So I feel more secure for having multiple ones.
Yeah, that's a really good point about, and that's one of the things I've been thinking about is by diversifying the portfolio, making it bigger, you know, several plugins, then that would give me some more stability down the line. To get to that point is going to be a huge amount of work. So, but that's kind of the end goal. It's been surprising to me how much work has been involved to get WS Form to this point. It's been, you know, they're put it this way, there are easier ways for me to make money. I could still be building websites and systems for people and be making a lot more money, but I don't think it would be as rewarding. And also by having a plugin, you have an asset, whereas with an agency, you typically don't have an asset. You just have people and computers. So there's also that point to it as well. You know, maybe 10 years from now I'll be offered some money for WS Form, and that's something I wouldn't have had I had just an agency. So swings and roundabouts, you know. But I love the challenge and being the workaholic that I am. I quite enjoy what I do.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much for coming on Do The Woo to talk to us. I think you've given some really good advice about how to be more efficient and achieve more on your own, as well as when maybe it becomes too much. So that's been really great. Thank you for coming on.
Oh, thank you. And I'll be calling on you again, Katie, in the future, I'm sure. And thanks, thanks as well, Marcus. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks.
Hey, Bob WP here, and I would like to thank Airwallex and OmniSend once again for their support. Please consider checking them out. And thank you for tuning in to WooBiz Chat. If you're not subscribed, just visit dothewoo.io/subscribe or find us on your favorite pod player. And remember, you can subscribe to any of our shows directly or hear them all on our full channel feed for Do The Woo. And lastly, we welcome your thoughts, insights, and feedback on all of our episodes. So just head over to dothewoo.io and leave a comment. Until the next time.